It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gorilla Monsoon, along with Bobby DeBrain Heenan on this very special Mother's Day weekend. One day of the year set aside to honor, to show respect for your mom. Unfortunately, 365 days would be more like it. But, Mom, to you out there in Las Vegas, my love, my honor, my respect, and a special gift headed out your way, as I'm sure, Brain, that big gift headed for Beverly Hills.
Boy, you said a mouthful. I wish Mother's Day was every day. Last year, my mom got me a red Mercedes.
What do you mean, got you?
Well, it's Mother's Day.
You're supposed to show your love and give something to your mom.
I'm her kid. How's that?
You're disgusting. Here we go.
The blue to match my eyes.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns, and you are listening to Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast with James Stewart and Mike Riley, two great members of the Kowloon crew. Mike, remember, this is Jay Stu's yard, brother.
This week, Wrestling Inside the Ropes is also brought to you by MLB The Show 21. MLB The Show 21 gets you to the postseason when you want. Don't feel like playing a full 162-game season. Play only the biggest moments and cruise your way to victory. Check out 985thesportshub.com to enter the online contest to win. Mike Riley, All Elite Wrestling's mission statement from day one was to change the world.
Mm-hmm.
Has All Elite Wrestling changed the wrestling world in your opinion?
So here we are coming up in 2 years of...
That's a yes or no question, Mike.
All right, but I'm just going to start this here. We're coming up. Yes. We're coming up with 2 years of the.
I thought it was a pretty direct question.
All right, fine. It has. Yes, it's
okay.
It has.
Thank you. All right,
it has. Yes. All right, but
continue.
Now I'll continue here with the prior preamble. Coming up in 2 years of Double or Nothing, the first pay per view, 2019, and I believe that really got things going, obviously, for AEW, and to really light the fire under WWE's tail. What they did, what AEW did for WWE, of course, was force WWE to move NXT to Wednesday nights. Ultimately, we know that AEW won the Wednesday night programming. But I think the fact that if you have a well-established organization such as WWE, to feel the need to go up against AEW on a Wednesday night like that, right off the bat, yes, it has changed just a bit. Another thing here, I'll go in more detail this, but I think that AEW, they have kind of gone full circle in the pro wrestling world. For instance, you're bringing back old stars. It's almost a feel of the Attitude Era with their style just a bit. The matches, I believe, are quality matches. These stars that are on here, they have not, when they were in WWE or anywhere else for that matter, maybe they weren't at that main event status, and now they're having that opportunity here in AEW to have that showcase and to highlight themselves, and it's paying off and it's working. And, you know, the ones that I look at, for at the top, I mean, listen, I know we're going to talk about him later, but Cody Rhodes, John Moxley. I mean, listen, he was part of a stable in WWE, But those guys right there, Pac for that matter, other, you know, Sammy Guevara also has helped, had a really good first year. Darby Allin has been a great star. I couldn't see those guys as main event guys in WWE, but here they are in AEW. They're getting an opportunity. So it's helped change for the better of competition, where WWE has taken note and they're not afraid to move the needle a little bit and keep things interesting for the fans and keep everyone engaged. And that's why a lot of people look at AEW as their favorite promotion to watch on a weekly basis.
So AEW has not changed the world. It's repackaged the world that was. And what do I mean by that? I'll get into details on that in a second. But first of all, NXT was on Wednesday nights first before AEW. It's just, it was on the network and you weren't watching, like many others weren't watching. You were all just watching the takeover events, or if they did like a WOW dream match, then you would tune into the network, and that's viewing habits, and that's okay. But there's this myth that AEW moved to when AEW comes in and does Wednesday nights, when NXT had been on Wednesday night on the network for a long time prior. Just USA all of a sudden was willing to pay stupid money to put it on network TV, cable TV. So that's the first thing there. So to my point, AEW hasn't changed the world. It's just repackaged the world that was. And this continues my theory that AEW is ECW with a budget. And they are just trying to do wrestling at a more aggressive pace. And they're trying to push the limits of what Tony Khan grew up with, quote unquote, where he was at the ECW arena. And he had all this different influence from Paul Heyman's production of pro wrestling, this really aggressive style of pro wrestling. So from the business standpoint, it has helped. I agree with you, Mike. There you go. I'll say it again for you. I agree with you, Mike. From a business standpoint, it has helped professional wrestling grow. But the counter to that, though, is if there's no AEW, is Vince McMahon still trying to get on Fox or any other network TV? And I say yes, because it all came with the XFL packaging, right? True. And that stuff had all been in the works. And because Vince has always wanted to be on network TV. Remember, SmackDown was on the CW, it was on UPN, and now it's on Fox, which is, you know, the big four networks. So Vince has always wanted that. So from that business side of it, WWE is still moving forward and paying their wrestlers more and more money. Now, the house show things and the pandemic, all that stuff, we'll put that to the side. But the wrestlers now have made more money and they're working lighter schedules because of the pandemic in part. But they were, WWE was lowering house shows going forward and limiting who was going to be on those. Like, remember, it was originally going to be a pay-per-view in Boston. Then they moved it because they were doing the all-women's show in New York because they were going to get more media attention having it on Long Island than having it at the Garden, which I disagree with, but that's neither here nor there. And they took it from being a super show, and they lowered it, and they took certain wrestlers off the show.
Yep.
So has AEW changed the world of wrestling storylines? I have not felt that way. I will say that AEW does not have many holes in their stories, which is a good thing, which is something that, you know, will bug me about WWE programming. But I haven't felt like AEW is a must-watch TV product every single week. I know people who listen to the show think that it's the only wrestling show to watch each and every week. It just doesn't feel that way for me. SmackDown leading into WrestleMania, I felt was a must-watch show every week. Yep. I still feel like SmackDown is the show that I anticipate watching live each and every week. And that's because they have characters that have just drawn me in and I'm just so invested in. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we'll talk a little bit about Roman and the Uso family story and Cesaro. And those are all characters who I have emotionally invested in. But here's where I go with this is I'm 40. I'm a hardcore. I've seen, consumed, and been emotionally invested in too much wrestling. Mm-hmm. And Mike, as we know, my issues are just that. They're my issues and it's a me problem. It's always a me problem. Only child thing, right? So I like AEW.
You own it.
Hell, I might go to Chicago for their Labor Day show.
Yep.
But I'm not massively invested in every detail of every story. Yep. And so that's why, to me, AEW isn't that must-watch show, and it hasn't really changed the world. It's a really good product, but I still feel like they're the 2021 version of ECW, and they have this stupid budget. And I don't know how I get past that perception of it. I don't know how I work through my issues of having seen so much wrestling, but it brings us to the pinnacle. It brings us to War Games, right?
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Mm-hmm. And it brings us to the pinnacle beating the Inner Circle. And I'm going to ask you what you thought of Blood and Guts and all that in a second.
Yep.
But on first watch, because I watched this match twice, I watched it first live, and I thought it was okay, and I hated the finish.
Yeah.
On the second watch, which was Saturday morning for me, I didn't love the match, and I hated the finish even more. So the Inner Circle surrounding the match, surrendering the match, I should say, so that MJF doesn't push Chris Jericho off the top of the steel cage. And then MJF still pushes Chris Jericho off the top of the cage. So I'm hardcore dedicated. I've seen would be exposed on moves, you know, the details of the War Games Blood and Guts match.
Yep.
So Wood's been exposed for moves on the base of the ring. And that's a finish.
Right.
The turnbuckle removed from the ring post and used as a weapon, that was a finish. That was the finish in the War Games 92 match. These details that I've already seen, the Inner Circle surrendering without somebody being in a submission hold, but the threat of Jericho being pushed off the cage. Well, that's akin to the War Games where the NWO beat the Horsemen the night that Kurt Hennig turned on the Horsemen.
97.
And they being the NWO, had Flair's head in between the door opening of the cage, and they threatened all the Horsemen and said, if you don't surrender now, we're going to slam Ric Flair's head into the door. And the Horsemen surrendered. I think it was McMichaels who was like, yep, you better give it up.
Yep.
After Benoit spit in his face and said no, and Mongo's like, yeah, we give up. And they still slammed Ric Flair's head, the door onto Ric Flair's head.
Yep.
So I've seen that finish, but it's 1997 and it's now 2021. So there are people who haven't seen that style of finish. So this is all new to a younger audience, a hardcore audience that hasn't seen it.
Yep.
So then it goes to my other gripe, which is, when are we going to stop throwing people off of cages? When are we going to stop diving off of cages? And all companies are doing this, and they're doing it safer than, you know, just hucking Mick Foley off the top of the cell onto the broadcast and just hoping, right? But throughout this whole match, it's just another high spot. And I get the story. I appreciate the story. It's the Inner Circle cared more about the safety of Jericho, the friend, the leader, than about the one match. So it's good. It's simple to understand. And MJF throwing Jericho off the cage after getting the win that he wanted is part of the story. That's extra heat. That's MJF being even more of a dirtbag. And boy, did they amp up the boos when he walked into the cage. So I get it. But I've seen it. And I guess that's my issue, is that I've seen it. And I hate doing this show and being the Debbie Downer for another AEW match. But that's just how I feel, is that I've seen it. But the internet is overly positive about it. Like, this is the Britt Baker thing from a few weeks ago against Thunder Rosa. The internet loved it. You loved it. And well, I'm like, I've seen it.
And you know what? And it's funny you said that with the Britt Baker Thunder Rosa match. I was thinking about that too with the Blood and Guts match. I enjoyed that Britt Baker Thunder Rosa match over the Blood and Guts match instead. I think, again, that's an early match of the year candidate for me. Go ahead, to have your shot on that. But I think that it's I'm just saying shot glass. I say match of the year once a month, once a week, whatever. But anyways, yes, exactly.
Every show, it's the greatest night in the history of sports entertainment.
Not Blood and Guts. That's right. That's right. But the Blood and Guts match, though, I'm with you there, that when are we going to get some new stuff? And to the point that you made there of ECW, of AEW being a rebranded ECW, I kind of look at it as a rebranded WCW. And back to my point there, where they've gone full circle with guys that have, you know, the legends especially too. You look at Jake the Snake Roberts, you look at Taz, you look at Arn Anderson, you look at Tully Blanchard, and those are guys that you make a formal introduction to a new audience here that didn't know anything about them. Kenny Omega, not many people knew about him before AEW. And here you are here with this match they're just going down that whole same track record of reestablishing old tricks that have happened before in pro wrestling with the War Games match. Same deal. The match, Blood and Guts itself, I'm with you. Like, all right, if this were pay-per-view, if that was a pay-per-view match, I would have thought it sucked. I thought it was okay, and I give it like a C+. That's it, a C+ at best. But if that were on pay-per-view, I would have been pissed. The fact that it was a Dynamite show, I'm okay with that. We get a good deal out of it. But if I had to invest 3 hours of a Sunday night or a Saturday, whenever they did that, I would have been furious. That, like, the finish here for Chris Jericho crashing through a pad on sheet metal, which we know was not sheet metal. It looked like it was like a folded cardboard, almost like something jumping into a Chuck E. Cheese bin in the ball.
Yeah, that's what they do. They stack boxes, the cardboard boxes, and they probably have a crash pad underneath it.
I hated that.
That's the safest. That's what they've deemed the safest way to do something like that.
Right.
And
the surrender.
So that's kind of part of it. Like, I get the story. Mm. It didn't sing to me, right? So, like, pro wrestling is supposed to sing to us each individually. So there are people out there who've seen that for the first time, and they're like, wow, that's horrific, right?
Yeah.
But it wasn't that for me. And I hate feeling that way, because I know that the performers put in all this work and effort, and, you know, and they're all super sensitive about saying, you know, bad things about them. And but it just wasn't for me. And we're all looking for that alternative, that new band, the band that we discover first, right?
Right.
And for a lot of people, AEW is that. It hasn't been consistently for me. And I just don't feel like there's that. You know, I always go back to, like, I was in Chicago Labor Day weekend when Chris Jericho won the title for the first time. And there was such an energy in that crowd in Chicago at StarCast.
Yep.
You talk to a bunch of different people about it, and they're like so energized for here comes the new wrestling promotion that's going to change the world, that's going to do all these things, and it's going to make it wins and losses matter. It's going to be closer to New Japan than it is WWE, because we all hate WWE. We're all frustrated by the World Wrestling Federation, World Wrestling Entertainment. We have NXT, but, you know, NXT is only an hour on the network, or, you know, the takeovers are the only thing that we really watch. But now we're getting 2 hours week to week, new stars, young stars. And I feel like that they've just been more sportsy, entertainmenty, consistently week to week. And I think that that is something that the newer fan, the younger fan, is like, isn't this just, this is closer to WWE than I think I was expecting? And there has to be some sort of balance, right? Because you just can't do 2 hours of New Japan Pro every week. Right. I don't think you can, because New Japan had their 1 hour show on Access TV a few years ago, and I enjoyed it. I would watch it on my own time, and I enjoyed those things. I enjoyed watching, but that was it. It was an hour a week.
Yep.
And it was just like, here's the backstory, here's the match. And there would be times, Mike, where they would do a video package and then the match would run the entire show.
Yep.
And then they would do the closing promo. And I always thought that was great. And then they went live with Wrestle Kingdom that 1 year.
Yeah.
I think that that stuff is great, but it's also the time investment. It's an hour a week.
Yes.
It's not 2 hours and then they have YouTube shows. You know, we talk about this consistently where WWE programming is 3, 2, and 2.
Yes.
And then another 3 or another 4. And AEW at the start was 2 hours. And we went to that BU show.
Yep.
And we thought it was one of the better wrestling shows that we had seen.
Yep.
Like top to bottom.
It was great.
Then you just, now what's on week 30? What's on week 40?
Yeah.
And that's where you start trying to figure out, do we implement more entertainment to it? Because what I always say is there's good wrestling and there's bad wrestling. And it all falls under the entertainment umbrella, but it's always what sings to you. What lyrics are you hearing that you enjoy? And, you know, week to week, I don't enjoy every lyric that comes out of it.
No, of course not. And if you do, I mean, God love you. If you do, I mean,
people who do, Mike, and that's great.
Yeah. All the power to you. I'm with you. I just look at, you know, a couple things too. I just want to touch real quick on why I also say that AEW has, you know, for the most part, changed the world. It's real competition now for WWE, Jimmy. For 20 years, WWE was able to take their foot off the gas, and they weren't able to have that direct competition, where now they know that other talent from the WWE can go to a different promotion and be a direct threat. Now, listen, Kurt Angle went to TNA. Hulk Hogan was TNA. Jeff Jarrett, we know all about that. But I'm sorry, that was not a direct competition. This is a big one here. Jericho, Moxley, you know, even guys like I mentioned, Jake Hager, Pac, all those guys who are there now, that is a legitimate threat for them. And for what AEW tried to do this week with Blood and Guts, I think they sent the fans a message that we're getting ready to go back on a live touring schedule. We're planning to have a full capacity.
July, they're touring again, and then the end of the month in May for Double or Nothing, they're going to have a full house at Daly's Place in Jacksonville.
Okay, so the fact that they did something creative like this, and I'm not saying they haven't done anything creative during the pandemic, but I think this was a prelude to get everyone back into a real mode of like, listen, we're going all in for you guys, the fans here. We're going to do whatever we can here for Dynamite, and we're going to do a Blood and Guts match, and now let's get this ball rolling and keep that momentum going as we get ready to go back live in person to tour city to city. But you're right, July.
Here's why I don't think WWE views them as a threat, views AEW as a threat. Chris Jericho just did the Steve Austin podcast.
Yes,
on very Peacock good interview. Network.
That's true.
And so that means Austin texted Vince. Vince said it was okay. Vince doesn't view All Elite Wrestling as a threat. And here's why I think that is, Mike, is yes, the Khan family has more money than Vince. But I think that Vince goes back to what he told Ted Turner was, I'm in the entertainment business. You're in the wrestling business,
right?
There's a big difference, right? So, and that's where I think Cody specifically, and we'll talk about Cody because Deadspin did an article on Cody that I want to get into.
Yep.
That our friend Lauren sent me, because otherwise I wouldn't have, because I'm not a Deadspin guy, but I'll take any content and use it for the purpose of the show.
It's a good one. Yeah, it's a good article.
So I think that Cody understands, because Dusty, his dad, was big on trying to cross over and do entertainment stuff. mm-hmm. more just beyond pro wrestling, because pro wrestling has a ceiling. Entertainment, in theory, does not have a ceiling, right? So while Tony Khan is trying to do ECW and Cody's trying to do Hollywood with doing a match with Shaq, and Chris Jericho is trying to do something with Mike Tyson, like, I get all that stuff, and that's crossing. That's what Vince did at WrestleMania 1. Here sure. comes Billy Martin. Here comes Liberace. Here comes all these celebrities in. Here comes Bob Costas to do MTV. Here comes Cyndi Lauper. The crossover. There's a way to do crossover and do it properly. And even the hardcore wrestling, Smoke and Joe Frazier refereed a Ric Flair Dusty Rhodes match on closed circuit. Starcade, the name Starcade, right? Like, that's the whole, like, we're going to do Hollywood stuff, right?
Yep.
So there has to be some integration of it. But while Tony Khan is building a wrestling company and dipping his toe into entertainment, Vince McMahon is hiring somebody who speaks Hollywood in his new president, Nick Khan.
Yes.
So that's the idea, is The Miz is going to do a movie. The Miz is going to do a reality show. The Bella Twins are going to do reality shows. They're going to do reality shows, and they're going to spread their wings outside of the wrestling world. So you're going to have a situation where such and such is going to the wife or the girlfriend is watching A&E, and here come the Bella Twins. And now all of a sudden you're like, oh, the Bella Twins do wrestling. So now maybe they check out Raw or SmackDown or whatever.
Yep.
And that's where that goes.
No, it's true. And it's just, again, going back to everything that you just mentioned there, that Vince doesn't look at AEW as a direct threat. I mean, sure, he's got to look at himself as, oh, you know what? We don't have to worry about that. We have all this power. We've been around a lot longer. And yeah, he really can't go down to that, I shouldn't say level of where WCW, who almost put him out of business, I guess you could say, a legitimate threat for 83 weeks, as we know. But the fact that, again, like I said, that these guys are not afraid to go up against Vince McMahon, to swing for the fences right away, it does have to send some sort of a message to Stamford, Connecticut, to change things just a bit, or to, you know, be ahead of that curve there, which they are. We know that they're the most powerful guys in the game. They always will be. And they have to really know what is the next step and to be ahead of what AEW could do next. But again, just going back to summarize real quick in AEW, I really feel like it's a little bit of the Attitude Era here. You have a little bit of WCW in there too. Swearing, violence, it's a throwback, and they're doing the best they can. And I think their Dynamite has been a good product on a weekly basis, but the Blood and Guts match, thank God it was Dynamite, not a pay-per-view.
Yeah, and part of the reason why I watched it twice mm-hmm. was because of the picture-in-picture, the commercials and things like that. And so if you watched on Bleacher Report, which I did on Saturday, commercial-free. It was a much smoother experience for me, and I just didn't like it even more. So,
hey, good for you watching that twice. I could only watch it once, and that was it. So there you go.
Yeah. I needed to have that. I wanted to make sure that I didn't miss anything. Mm-hmm. So like, I watched it live, was like, hated the finish. Then I watched it again on Saturday. I was like, ugh, kind of wish I hadn't, but and then I hated the finish even more.
Yeah. So, fair enough.
But I also wanted to make sure I had proper details and notes and da 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 da. Again, Mike, it's a me problem. So
that's fair.
It's always a me problem.
I will say this though, real quick. I think that the whole point of that match though was to continue to elevate the MJF character and to show how much heat he got and so forth, and the for him to be the top heel in the business. Essentially, you're probably going to see an MJF and Chris Jericho rematch, one-on-one match at some point again. And again, maybe it could be. They haven't said that for Double or Nothing yet, right?
Well, Mike, so this is the interesting thing, is I feel like that was the blow off of the story.
That's what I thought too.
Right? Because AEW does this thing where they have this big match and then people part ways.
But when MJF threw Jericho off the cage, I'm like, oh, okay, rematch. It's happening.
Well, no. The rematch would be Stadium Stampede then on pay-per-view, right?
Okay.
But they don't do that. So my thinking is, what's next for MJF?
Yep.
So does that mean MJF is now going after Darby Allin?
For the TNT title?
Because that seems to me would be the next logical step, because MJF needs to continue going forward, and that's the thing that has eluded him, is that singles championship. He lost to Moxley for the world title back a few months ago. So now what's next is, do you halt Darby Allin? Is MJF going after Sting? Is MJF going after, you know, what's next for MJF? Is he going to do, well, I killed off Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
So now what's next? Am I going, is it Sting? Is it Darby Allin and Sting? Is that what's next? I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, or Jericho puts him over again, where we know that's part of his
job. So Jericho would have put over MJF twice now. He did once on pay-per-view and now on this TV match.
Yeah, and I'm sure he wouldn't mind doing it again, though. That's your thing, just to draw, right?
Yeah, Jericho's been putting everybody over.
He's the man, yeah.
Interesting.
Yes, that's right. So a lot of storylines going into Double or Nothing in a couple of weeks.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
So Deadspin did a story on Cody. And so here's the headline that got my attention. And thank you to our listener, Lauren, who texted this to me. Cody needs to F off more than anyone has F'd off in the history of F offs. What a headline. Great headline, right?
Now, can I ask you a question before we continue?
Sure.
Did you try to contact the author of this and have them autograph it for you? And then you're going to get it framed?
No.
Come on.
No, because that's strong. That's a strong. I read this story, right?
Yeah.
And here's the summary of the story as far as I interpreted it.
Please.
I took this story to say Cody is putting himself on TV just to put himself on TV. And as a vice president, he can do that. And Cody is trying really hard to be the Miz. There's also another story that's out there that I've kind of hinted at, that Cody and the other VPs are having issues. And that they've continuously had issues, right? So that's something that I've kind of mentioned in passing a few times. Mm-hmm. So that's a thing now going around.
Yep.
It's not
a happy-go-lucky crew. That
Cody and Brandy were late additions to the VPs. But that all aside, right? Mm-hmm. Specifically on the Cody Deadspin article, I think Cody does put himself on TV. And he should be putting himself on TV. Cody is a top star in the promotion, and he has a really strong fan base. And Mike, you even say that Cody is the face of AEW, and I disagree with you on it, but I think he's a top one, two, or three.
Well, I'll say this. Anytime I hear AEW, Cody comes right to my mind.
Exactly. And you even put this on Twitter, and Cody liked the tweet. So, you know, he searches his name on Twitter.
That's right. I didn't tag him.
Yeah, you didn't tag him, but he found it.
Yep, he did.
So Cody is a top star in the promotion. He's an established star in the promotion. And the idea of Cody doing a program with Sean Spears or QT Marshall is to try and elevate them and get them where people where the casual person is like, I don't know who this guy is, but he's doing well. Or in the case of both of those guys, they're not doing well. I cite the example of the Sean Spears-Cody match, and Tully Blanchard was the MVP of that match back in Chicago a few years ago, right? Mm-hmm. So you got Tully Blanchard over. Neat. Tully didn't need to be over. Tully was already good. But here's the examples that I would use. Look at what Cody did as a babyface, as a good guy, to elevate Darby Allin, right? This is a perfect example of the independent scene kind of knew who Darby Allin was, but here's Cody having a match with him, and he goes to a time limit draw. He sneaks past him in one match, in a different match, and then Cody drops the TNT title to Darby Allin. So Darby Allin, we had the conversation about who's the number one babyface in wrestling. Darby Allin was a name that was brought up during that conversation. That is, the assist goes to Cody on that one, mm-hmm. because Cody pushed hard privately to Tony Khan to sign Darby Allin. And then Cody went out and put over Darby Allin. Maybe not wins and losses, but the story of the time limit draw and then Cody escaping with a victory over Darby Allin, and then Darby winning the TNT title, that's an athletic match storyline where you have this up-and-coming star, but the veteran, they go to the time limit. The veteran gets the quick win on him, the flash pin on him, and then here's the young guy who finally gets the win, and by the way, it's the title. He gets the title off of Cody. So that's one example. Look at what Cody did for Brody Lee.
Yep.
Cody got squashed by him with the idea that Brody Lee was supposed to be this monster. And he hadn't really been showcased as that, in my opinion, up until the point where Brody Lee beats him on the Saturday Night Show for the TNT title. And then post-match destroyed Cody, destroyed Arn Anderson, left them being stretchered off. So, and Cody has spoken in interviews about how that to him was the best squash match in the history of wrestling. And I don't know if it was the Honky Tonk Man losing the Intercontinental title to the Warrior. That's 1988. Yeah. That's my childhood. So like that comes to mind, but the point is it's in the conversation, right?
Sure.
So that's Cody putting him in a position to put somebody else over. He gets the title back from Brody Lee in what would be Brody Lee's last match for the TNT title. But you know, that chain match was one of the better violent matches that AEW had done at the time. So do I think that Cody wants to have his face in the same way that Dusty Rhodes was the second most recognizable athlete in the world? He wasn't. That's a t-shirt on brucepritchard.com. But do I think that Cody wants to be the face of the show, the star of the show? Yes, I do. And that's not a bad goal to have. Do I think there are issues at times with Cody's leadership, both on camera and off camera? I do. But at the end of the day, on camera, I think Cody has helped All Elite Wrestling more than he's hurt AEW. And I think that's what the fans have to focus on. Has Cody done anything so wrong or so bad on camera or in story? And I don't think that he has, and maybe he has. I just don't recall it at this moment. But top match with Dustin Rhodes, who had just gotten out of WWF, and you know, questions of can he still go and this stuff and that. That's arguably the match of the year that year, right? He loses to Chris Jericho for the AEW title, and there's this stipulation where he can't challenge for it in the future. Now, do I think that's eventually going to be lifted? Yes, of course I do.
Yeah.
But in the short term, that's a hell of a stipulation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wins the TNT title, but drops it to Lee and then Allin. He does open challenges for new wrestlers. Eddie Kingston debuts, amongst others, who I can't think of off the top, but Eddie Kingston is probably the big one. But so for me, and this goes back to the ECW comparison, it's no different than when some new ECW wrestlers would come into the territory and their first match was losing to Shane Douglas or losing to Taz. Mm-hmm. So Al Snow comes into ECW. He loses to Taz. Too Cold Scorpio, who had been Flash Funk in the WWF, his first match back in ECW, he loses to Taz. Just a few examples of the idea. But you come in, you have a match with Cody, and then Cody can evaluate if you can work or what. And he's the boss. He's the VP. So like that's well within his rights. But I think on a bigger picture, and trust me, I'd love to knock Cody for a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with this article that Cody should F right off and get off and get the F off TV. He's a top three star in the company. People tune in and they buy merchandise for Cody.
Yep.
It's not like he's bulldozing through 173-0 win streak here. He seemingly is doing what's best for AEW's business, and whether that's a ego self-fulfilling prophecy is, you know, look at what I've done. I don't know. That's only he can speak for it truthfully or untruthfully.
Yep.
But I thought the headline and the story, I just disagreed with it very much. And does he want to be that crossover star? Yes. Do I see a problem with it? No. Because I haven't seen something that's egregious enough to flag that Cody did wrong on the bigger scale of things. There are probably some smaller details that I've documented on past episodes, but I think overall Cody is a net positive for AEW. And I think that's what we as fans should look at bigger picture. That's a lot to unpack there, Mike Riley.
No, it's a very good analysis of the whole situation. And, you know, my thought of when I read the article as well, I don't know this writer personally, Sam Fells, who wrote it. But I mean, the assumption I got after reading, I'm like, this guy may have a little bit of heat with Cody. There may have been something that happened in real life here to have him really go after him. You talk about Cody, who have, you know, helped put over the talent there. I mean, look at, you know, the MJF story last year too, after he turned on Cody. That was some of the best stuff on television. It was awesome.
Stolen from the Matt Taven Cody story, by the way, but continue.
Oh,
the okay. Kiss the ring in the face. Oh. That's all Matt Taven Cody stuff.
Okay, but I'm
Ring of Honor, and I get it. Nobody watches Ring of Honor.
No, but I loved it, though. That was good stuff. But I think that helped elevate MJF to that next level. And he's, again, the top heel in the professional wrestling right now. But with this whole situation here, yes, a lot to your point here. Very bitter from what I thought of the whole situation with this writer Fells to Cody Rhodes. And yeah, I mean, Cody is the vice president of AEW. Now, I think there have been some things that I could have cared less about, the gender reveal. I thought that was no need for that. The Cody Brandy gender reveal. But you know, you mentioned AEW, like I said, and the first guy that comes to mind is Cody Rhodes. He has branded himself as essentially the face of the promotion right there. And sure, there are times where I'm like, all right, yeah, he just wants to be in that spotlight there, and deservedly so, like you talk about. But overall, without Cody Rhodes, there's a good chance there may not be an AEW.
No, I disagree with that. I think without Tony Khan, there's no AEW.
Okay, that's the final icing on the cake. But he's one of the main reasons why a lot of the talent are coming in. He's luring them to come in. He knows the guys. He knows how to get them in and to evaluate them in the ring, too. You can't argue that.
So that
can't be argued.
So Cody is part of it. Cody is part of it.
And he's got a lot of stuff.
I also know some wrestlers who won't work for AEW because Cody's a VP.
Wow. Interesting.
I
mean, but again,
so like it's the Young Bucks have great relationships with people, right?
Yeah.
So if CM Punk were to go to AEW, it would mm-hmm. be because of the Young Bucks, because he has great relationships with the Young Bucks.
Correct.
It's like with any other thing. Like if people have the power to sign you and they really want to sign you, they will. And if the money's right and everything checks out. So I'm sure Cody has helped. Like I cited Darby Allin as an example.
Yep.
So Darby Allin was, Cody really pushed for Darby Allin, and Cody was right. There are people like Kenny Omega runs the women's division essentially as a VP. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the women that you see are Kenny Omega suggestions. They're recruited by Kenny Omega to appear on the show. In the same way the Young Bucks do. I know Jericho has, even though he doesn't have the VP title, Jericho has a lot of input into AEW.
Sure.
So it's all a collaborative effort. And at the end of the day, Tony Khan signs the contracts. But you know, there's a degree of the biggest criticism I think there is of Cody.
Yeah.
Is he being a VP and is he making decisions to make AEW better or just to get jabs at WWE?
Well,
and both can be true, by the way.
So,
but on the on the Cody pie chart, like, which is the bigger piece of the pie?
Right.
And that might adjust show to show, day to day. You'll remember the first pay-per-view, Cody's entrance is longer than Triple H's, and he bashes the throne
and
all that stuff. That's an obvious shot at WWE. Right. They do all these little things, or they did for a while, that were shots at WWE. Mm-hmm. I don't think that they have done that as much recently.
No.
But which means they're growing up.
Right,
because they announced they're starting a wrestling promotion, and Vince McMahon is like, "Oh, we're doing a football league, and we're going to be on Fox." And then, "Oh, AEW is going to be on Wednesday night." Well, USA is paying us $30 to $50 million to put NXT on Wednesday nights.
And you took the words out of my mouth there too with the jab at WWE, because yes, that first Double or Nothing where he slammed the stone down on the sledgehammer, direct shot at Triple H. But I also think that stems off of Cody having that chip in his shoulder, like a Tom Brady kind of guy. Okay, Tom Brady always has played with a chip in his shoulder his whole career, because drafted late, round 199 overall, round six. Cody thought he could have been that guy, and he never was, where he had to go reinvent himself into the independent circuit, then to Ring of Honor and so forth. And now he's able to be at the top of the food chain, essentially, for AEW. And he knows he has that stroke. He can use that to his advantage, obviously, to sign, try to get whoever he can to be a part of AEW. But again, when he can take a direct shot at WWE and to show them that I'm so much better than what you guys gave me a chance for, that is a chip on his shoulder. So he's using that as motivation. And I won't be shocked if Cody Rhodes reads that article and it just really lights another fire under his ass. This guy just may have just done that.
And that's fine. That's great. The weird thing for me is that Cody pushes back on Triple H.
Yep.
Right. And Triple H is hot and cold with people. I get that. He's in a position of power. You know, bosses are hot and cold. Yep. But the thing that fascinates me about his pushback on Triple H is the night that Cody won the Ring of Honor championship, and we were in the building, Mike. Lowell, we were in the building in Lowell, Massachusetts.
Yep.
Triple H texted Cody, "Congratulations."
Wow.
So that's why, like, the pushback on Hunter is so fascinating to me. So is Hunter fake? Does Cody know Hunter's fake? Is it just, it's an on-screen TV shot? Is it because Triple H made the Hall of Fame comment at Billy Gunn being like, yeah, good luck with that, or whatever the comment was,
but yeah,
good luck with that little, you know, low rent, whatever, or whatever I don't remember the specific comment, but it was at the Hall of Fame. But it goes back to the bigger point where Vince and Hunter and, They're not worried about AEW. They're not. And the other thing is, if AEW was like, yep, we're going right to Monday nights, or we're going right to Friday nights, mm-hmm, maybe it's a different story. But Vince put his third brand against AEW. And when they were pushing Survivor Series, the year it was NXT versus Raw versus SmackDown,
yep,
the doors of NXT were open. Do you remember the biggest name to come through the doors?
Rhea Ripley.
No. From the other shows, Mike. It was Becky Lynch made an appearance, so she's your hottest star on the women's side.
Oh, okay. I'm
your
sorry.
Your biggest male star who made the jump into the NXT was AJ Styles. It wasn't Brock. It wasn't Cena. It wasn't Hunter. I mean, Hunter's there anyway, but you know what I mean.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. It wasn't Brock. Here comes Brock Lesnar through the door.
Right. You didn't need the big heavy hitters, essentially, for what WWE saw that there.
Right. It was AJ Styles who, for the longest time, was the king of the indies, and he worked everywhere. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the WWE branded person.
Yeah, exactly.
So that should have been a tell as to what Vince and Hunter and WWE really thought about AEW. If Jericho doing the Austin podcast doesn't tell you that WWE isn't worried about AEW, then I don't know what else will.
No, and you're right about that, with the fact that they're not too overly concerned with them. But just to go on that Triple H text to Cody, that's like, you know, he does congratulate him, but is he also just congratulating him like, you know what, this guy. He's gotten back to the top where he never was here in WWE. I'm not worried about him. He's not a threat to me, so I can congratulate him. Is that why? Or is he just doing it?
I would hope that we wouldn't be so petty on things like that.
It's interesting. It's fascinating, though, because of what Cody, the way he has gone after Triple H on AEW television after hearing something like that. So here's a guy like Triple H trying to take the high road, but then they have these little jabs.
But the Ring of Honor thing was before Cody was on AEW TV.
That's true.
So in other words, Mike, like he wins the Ring of Honor title. Triple H says, "Hey, congratulations." And then AEW pops up year and a half later.
September 2018, All In, and then the spring of 2019, Double or Nothing. There you go.
So like,
yeah.
So in the course of 2 years, the relationship soured.
Something happened. But then Triple H goes and makes that comment at WrestleMania weekend there, the Hall of Fame, to Billy Gunn.
And maybe that's what the receipt was.
Yeah.
But that's Billy Gunn's axe to grind, not Cody's.
Right.
Right?
I'm guessing Cody's is looking at it like, I'm the leader. I'll go after him too. Right?
You know, and Jericho talked about how like him and Hunter are cool now, even though Triple H did everything within his power to bury Jericho on his way
sure.
into WWE. So.
But Jimmy, that's our job. We got to gossip about this, right?
Oh, of course we do. Of course we do.
That's the best part about this whole thing.
Of course we do.
We could talk about this. It's great. I love it.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
So overall, didn't hate the article, just disagreed with certain points of it.
Yeah, very strong. Very, very strong.
Which I appreciate. I appreciate a good strong take. To F off of all F offs, like, oh, what a great headline. I wish I had thought of that. maybe I'll headline this podcast as F off, just the F off. No, I won't do that.
I'm telling you, you're going to need that article framed, Jimmy, and have the Fells guy sign it for you.
No, I'll put it right. You know what I'll do, Mike? I'll put it right next to the photo that Cody signed for me after he won the Ring of Honor championship.
Nice. Nice. Was that?
Because you were there after the Chaotic show.
Yeah, you got it.
And Cody and I had a nice conversation, and he signed three photos, one for me, one for you, and one for Andy Wong.
Yep. And you know what? In the year before, you and I met him and Brandy out in Pittsfield.
Yeah.
And, you know, the couple of times I've had interaction with him, great guy.
I talked to him down when he did a Northeast. He was the Northeast. What's the name of it? It's Mike Lombardi's company. He was their champion. Northeast Wrestling.
Promotion.
Yeah, Northeast Wrestling. Okay. So, like, I had a nice conversation with Cody down there. So, like, you know, but here's the thing, Mike.
Yeah.
And you know this about me.
Yeah.
I will have a conversation with anything, with anybody at any time about anything. I am more than happy to do it. I will tell you how I feel. You can like it. You can disagree with it, whatever. But I am always open to having that conversation.
Yeah.
So my critique of Cody has always been about stuff that I have heard from other people.
Yeah.
If Cody wants to come and have a conversation with me, feel free. I'll throw all this evidence at him, and he can react to it however he would like.
Yeah.
I have no gripes with that. I did an interview with Cody a few years ago. I think it was before he won the ROH title.
Yes.
And because now it's triggering, right?
Yeah.
He was fighting for the Ring of Honor title. At the LOL show we were at.
Yep.
And then he was going for the IWGP heavyweight title like a week or 2 weeks after that. Because I remember saying to Cody, I'm like, hey, if I'm a betting man, I bet you walk away with two titles.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that tells you that I like Cody, right?
Because
I'm telling him that.
Yeah.
But you can have if you have a good enough this is the bigger point, right? If you have a good enough relationship with somebody,
mm-hmm.
you can say anything to them and they'll react, but they will accept, respect, push back on your opinion. But when that conversation is over, you guys are good.
100%. Yes. All the time. Exactly. And it's fascinating to see all this stuff here. And strong article, strong headline. Woo boy.
So, WrestleMania Backlash is next week.
Yeah, I really hate that name.
Next, there's another pay-per-view next week.
Yes.
I say that jokingly. Backlash is next week. It's got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 matches announced. Please keep it at 5 matches so you're done at 10 o'clock.
Yes.
Can it be a 7 to 10 pay-per-view? Probably not, right? With that.
Yeah.
It probably won't be, but I can ask, right?
It could. It could be, though. They could tape it.
I don't think they're shooting fire at anybody, so I don't think they'll be taping that. Okay. Mike Riley, what Backlash match are you most looking forward to next week?
I'm going with Bianca Belair and Bayley. And Bayley, of course, missing out on the WrestleMania card.
I was hoping you would say none so that we could just move on and wrap up.
Oh, sorry. Fine. I'm not going to go too deep into it. But listen, my reasons are I'm just happy to see Bayley on the card here. She was out of the WrestleMania picture. We know that. Bianca Belair riding that hot hand since WrestleMania. And I think this is a good test for her right away to, you know, Bayley's a perfect opponent for her. That heel and the baby face right there. It's a perfect situation right here. Her first real opponent since winning the SmackDown Women's Championship at WrestleMania in a grand fashion. So it'll be interesting to see how this goes, but I don't see Bianca Belair losing. It could open up the door down the line. Maybe a Sasha Banks interference to have her build up that feud with Bianca Belair, because of course she lost the title, and maybe she goes to the aid of Bayley in this match somehow. But that's my match. That's my favorite one to watch. Otherwise, I mean, yeah, another pay-per-view. This is it for the first one since WrestleMania. I mean, 4 weeks, 5 weeks ago now at this point. I really hate the name WrestleMania Backlash. Just please, just go to Backlash.
It's marketing. It's all Peacock and Universal and all that stuff, because it's like, oh, the WrestleMania brand. Oh, the Backlash from WrestleMania.
Yep.
I think it's an interesting matchup, Mike. I don't see Bayley winning here. I think the most surprising thing is that we didn't get a return for Sasha Banks here.
Yep.
And I don't know. I should probably check in and see, is there an injury here? Is it just a creative decision? Is it something to the like? Because I'm not sure. I'm glad that Bayley's in this match. I don't think she wins. I think Belair's got to go on a run, because I think she's the only babyface with a championship right now. Does that sound right?
Yeah, it's not Bobby Lashley. It's definitely not Roman Reigns, and it's not. I think you're right. Yeah. Well, and
Bianca Belair is your only babyface champion right now.
Not Apollo Crews. Not Sheamus. Yeah. Tag teams.
It's Rude and Ziggler, right? And it's AJ and Omos.
Yeah. No, you're right. That's
right. So Bianca Belair's got to retain. Otherwise, you have villain champions across the board.
Wow.
Right. Oh, and this goes back to, who do we root for? Who's our Hogan? Who's our Cena? Who's our even Becky Lynch?
Right.
Right now, it's Bianca Belair.
Exactly.
Bianca Belair's who we all root for.
That's why I said.
Isn't that wild?
Well, that's what I said. She's the top babyface in all pro wrestling 2 weeks ago on the show here. And yeah, they're going to make her get a good little ride here. The momentum, that is wild. Wow.
And a prominent NBA voice agrees with you, Mike.
That's right. Good boy, Sean. He's a great guy.
Yes. I've been friends with him for a long time. Sean Grandy, voice of the Celtics on the 98.5, the sports hub. So the match that I'm most looking forward to is my tribal chief, Roman Reigns, defending the Universal Championship against Cesaro, right?
There's no way.
So Cesaro's not going to win. I don't anticipate him winning, but it's Cesaro's big crack at a championship. And years ago, when Money in the Bank was in Boston, and it was the Money in the Bank match for the championship, which John Cena ended up winning.
Mm-hmm.
I thought there was a chance that they would do Brock Lesnar against Cesaro, because we knew Brock was coming back for SummerSlam and he was going to fight the champion. And they went with Cena, and I get it. It's Cena versus Brock, and that's the big poster match. But I thought at the time it was really an opportunity for Cesaro to win. And I think if you've watched some of the Talking Smack recently, you've seen Cesaro really come out promo-wise, because it's a more open forum as opposed to SmackDown and Raw. They're more scripted, and I get why they're more scripted. But
yep.
You know, Cesaro was matched with Paul Heyman all those years ago, and it didn't work because they changed his music, and you know, Heyman and Cesaro just weren't a match. So I know that Roman and Cesaro are going to have a great match. They're going to have a top-notch main event caliber match. But at the end of the day, Cesaro's not winning the Universal Championship. But now they have the dynamic of the Usos. Mm-hmm. Jimmy and Jey Uso, where do they stand? Do they stand with Roman? And so now you're getting this other story within this story. And that's the dynamic that's interesting to me. So now is Roman Reigns going to feud off with Jimmy Uso so that Jimmy Uso now acknowledges him? And So is Cesaro going to acknowledge him after the match, right?
It's the
champion. It's the tribal chief thing. It's the ego. There's some good meat on this bone. And all within the fact that I know that Cesaro is not winning, but I'm still interested in it. I'm still interested in the details of how Roman wins. Is it a chokeout? Is it interference? What's the degree of victory here? And that's why that's the most interesting match to me on the Backlash show is the main event with the tribal chief Roman Reigns, the reigning defending Universal Champion against Cesaro.
You got me thinking there with Cesaro going in to acknowledge Romans. That's a very interesting storyline to possibly tell right there, too. But yes, the return of Jimmy Uso and hesitancy to be a part of the tribal chief and Jey and the whole faction there this past week on SmackDown, and then to go to Roman's aid when Cesaro came in for the blindside attack there. The allegiance with them, it just makes you, it flicks the switch there. Like, all right, this is a classic WWE move right here. Let Cesaro have his little time, beat the living daylight out of Roman, Jimmy and Jey, go ahead. But then 10 days later, there is no chance he is going to win this Universal title. And listen, you're probably going to have that again this week too. He may have the last say on it and have some sort of a blindsided attack again, but that's it. Because they're not taking the Universal title off of Roman Reigns anytime soon. And the Jimmy Uso factor here, for him to possibly acknowledge Roman after to go in a match with them or just to be a part of this somehow, it just is going to make that faction much more powerful.
The thing about the Roman story that's fascinating to me, and Roman and Paul Heyman have both talked about it, and they talked about it early on when Roman came back and won the title.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be layers. There's going to be details. Like, this is a long-term story, assuming health and nothing fluky happens, right? So Roman early on in interviews was saying he's back. He's going on a run. And there are going to be details like his wrestling gear is going to change. Now his music has changed. This story has made it so personal. And that's where wrestling's good, Mike.
Yes.
Is when it's a personal story that you can understand.
Yep.
You can understand it very well here with Roman Reigns. And he's also playing off of what the fans resented him for.
Yep.
Having the spot, being the main event guy. And what, not me, because I think Roman's been good. I think he had a hiccup where, I don't want to say he was mailing in matches, but his matches weren't as good as they had been for a long time.
Yep.
I think he's in a groove of having great matches right now, and that can't be overstated. And if you don't want to take my word for it, Daniel Bryan did Robbie Fox's podcast 2 weeks ago before Daniel Bryan, who's now his contract is up and he's a free agent. So something to watch for.
Yep.
Which is why they accelerated all the, Daniel Bryan's last match was on SmackDown. Now we understand why, because his contract was up. But Robbie Fox talked to Daniel Bryan before that. And Daniel Bryan, in short, said, Roman's a really good wrestler. People forget about how good a performer he is between the ropes.
Yep.
And I think that that's just such a point that there was a time where I was promoting that. And people were like, no, you're just, just because I'm the, whatever you feel about me.
Yeah.
But here's Daniel Bryan agreeing with me. So Mike Riley, acknowledge me.
Yes, the leader. There you go. I can't disagree. I mean, look at the Royal Rumble match with Kevin Owens, the Jey Uso one.
He made Jey Uso a main event player.
Yes, and again, I go back to WrestleMania 37, the greatest main event since WrestleMania 30. That was awesome.
There's the Braun Strowman match at Fastlane before one of the WrestleManias.
Yeah.
Braun Strowman is so green, but we can't give Roman Reigns credit for carrying Braun Strowman to a great match.
Exactly.
Because you just hate Roman Reigns so much. I get it. It's okay.
No, it's he has turned his whole character around. He's riding off of that, and all those years being booed, using that to his advantage, and it's a perfect situation here where you talk about that to make it a personal thing. It could not have happened to a better time here where they've just made this a studio show. Talking, so much talking, you're able to get that personal situation for him to rip the opponent right there, be able to hear what they're saying inside the ring instead of the loud fan reaction in the background. It's so much more personal, intellect, and it's just that damn good. He's awesome, Reigns. Can't take anything away from him right now.
Roman Reigns is going to be the wrestler of the year until further notice. It's like LeBron James is the MVP until somebody says otherwise. And you know, there are people who have said otherwise, but I just disagree with them. But that's
tough to argue.
That's for the NBA podcast. Mike, I got nothing else if you're good.
No, we'll see you after Backlash. Let's go.
Excellent. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Mike and I will talk to you after Backlash.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.